There's an man speaking. I came to Lakewood in 1951 from Jersey City, New Jersey. About 18 years old. And I began with a short abdomen that my son, who learned about abdomen salvation in his Bachan, for many years, told me as follows. David Soloveitchik called him over, told him that I heard from my father, Miskarov, David Soloveitchik heard from the Miskarov, the following mice, that the Lodi Yeshivas went to Vilna, Alpi, the Chaim Reza gave an etzer for the yeshivas to come to Vilna during the war. So the yeshivas and the Shkarov sat down to decide where should they go from Vilna. So the yeshiva asked the Shkarov, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to Israel. So the Shkarov asked the yeshiva, where are you going? He says, I'm going to America. So the Shkarov said, "Ich hab meuretz against America wegen the Kinder." So the Shiva said, "Ich will phone in America and machen am besonders davon meuretz haben for the Kinder." This was a nevuah which we see today really came true. However, in 1943, quite a few years before I came to Lakewood, when the Baron, Zichrono Livracha, arrived in America, my father, Oliver Shalom, was with me in Lakewood. And he told me that he'd like to go into the yeshiva to give shalom to the Rosh Yeshiva. He heard he just came, about 1943. Was here? And I went with my father, and he came into the yeshiva, and the yeshiva was in the middle of a shiur. There were 12 Yungalites listening to the shiur. We didn't want to walk into the Beis Medrash. In the middle of the shiur, it was just a small Beis Medrash. We waited till the shiur was over. My father went over and gave shalom, and I went over and gave shalom. And certainly at that time, not my father nor I dreamt that I would ever be in Lakewood, because the times were not ripe. Everybody was interested in eventually going to high school and then going to college and so forth. As a matter of fact, I originally attended the yeshiva in Jersey City, which my mother created, because there were no chadorim, there was 20,000 Jewish families in Jersey City, with 10 from shuls, with choshev rabbonim, but there was no cheder. Everybody went to public school. My older brother went to public school. And afterwards he went for an hour or two to Talmud Torah. And my mother and father, when I was 4 years old, created a cheder, an all-day cheder. That was the first day school in the state of New Jersey. It was called Yeshiva of Jersey City. This cheder is still in existence, Baruch Hashem, not in Jersey City, naturally, but in a place called River Edge, which is near Teaneck, which has over 900 Talmidim presently, just an elementary school. From that cheder I went, when I was 8 years old, I went to New York. My father sent me with my older brother to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef on the east side of Manhattan, which was the closest yeshiva to Jersey City. We went every day by train, and in order to get to that yeshiva, first we had to take a railroad, then we had to take the ferry boat over the Hudson River, and then we had to take a subway, and that was quite a trip. I'm saying this because eventually, I was only 8 years old, but my father, after when I became 12, decided that it's enough traveling, and we have to stay at the dormitory yeshiva, so he brought me to Torah Das. And I was in Torah Das, I graduated elementary school. And in the yearbook, what year was that? That was, that was for 1946. And in the yearbook of the graduation book, it said, of the graduation class, it said there, what is your ambition? Just to explain what the people were thinking about then. And I said, I want to graduate Yeshiva Torah Das, and then go on to Masifta Torah Das, and then go on to Yeshiva University, and then go on to Columbia University, and become the owner of a supermarket chain of groceries. And I once asked Rav Gedalia Shor, Zichrono Livracha, how come they allowed me to print such a thing? And he didn't answer me. And I said, Rav Yisrael Salanter says that nicht alles, was man tragt, darf man sorgen, nicht alles, was man sorgt, darf man drucken, nicht alles, was man druckt, darf man meinen. Bechulo, es ist wie immer mir gelassen trachten. And Rav Gedalia Yisrael was with me in a car, we were riding, and he didn't answer. And I was waiting for the answer. And then finally he says, Rav Herschel, tell me, when seid ihr in Istana geworden? So I says, well, from Torah Vadas I went to tell the yeshiva. So he says, Rav Herschel, ich frage, when seid ihr geworden, wie ihr seid heint? So I says, after tell the yeshiva, I went to Lakewood. He says, oh, jetzt verstehe ich. So that was the union, that it was in the Gomel that everybody was playing with the going to college and not learning didn't had any value. And that's why when I came to Lakewood, there were 60 Bachim and 30 in the light in 1951. That means from the all those years, from the time the yeshiva came, till then, the yeshiva didn't grow. And the people that were there in Lakewood were all your Peyesha, European Italian Galait, and Bochum probably from European families or something that a little bit, but it was very few. But the matzav of learning in the yeshivas was naturally also very schwach. And I want to mention this, it's very important to be able to understand what the yeshiva did here. I had a neighbor when I lived in Muncie, and his name, Zolazan Gesund, is Rabbi Yitzhak Karp. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Shabbat Fireville Mendelovich. A very close friend. And he was a Rebbe in Torah Vadas, he was my brother's Rebbe in Torah Vadas. And he told me that when he was younger, so he learned in a yeshiva called Yeshiva Shlomo Kluger, which was on the east side. And there was a Rebbe, his Rebbe was Rabbi Yankel Flansgraben. And they had a shiur 365 days a year, including Yom Kippur. Every day in the year, there was no days off. And when they got bar mitzvah, he gave the brochim a matone, a k'tois. If Yitzchak Harpi asked me, you think he gave a k'tois because it was a nice matone to give him a bar mitzvah bracha? He says, no, he gave it because we knew already almost ganz k'tois ba'al peh when we were ready to get bar mitzvah. That's why he gave us a k'tois. When I heard this, I really didn't believe it entirely. But I met Reb David Feinstein, Moshe's son, on the east side, a few years later, and I asked him, I said, Reb David, you know the east side. Reb Yitzchak Harpi told me a story that I know. Look at Zeus. Is that true? So he says to me, yeah. He says, your name is Reb Yankel of Flanska. It's true. So I said, when did all this stop? How come we don't find anybody 12 years old or 12 and a half who knows Ketzois Baal Peh? So Reb David said, in 1941. He says, what happened in 1941? He says, there was a bill passed in Washington. It was called the CEA bill. I said, what does that mean? He says, Compulsory Education Act. That you had to go to public school and high school. It was compulsory. He says, that's when it stopped. He says, those brochim who were learning by Rabbi Yankel of Flansgarten, they were learning all day. So they didn't touch Baal Peh, but when you have the other things in your cup, so never forget about it. There's no more. So I told Reb David at that time, I said, Reb David, I don't know if you realize what you just told me. I said, I thought in 1941 Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, killed out a big chelik of Kal Yisrael in Europe, and the Yeshivas developed, and then v'chulu v'chulu. And you are telling me that in 1941, Washington destroyed Torah in America. So Reb David says, punkt wie du sagst, richtig, richtig. So this was the situation where the Yeshiva came to America. It was after 1941, and there was no compulsory that you had to go to college, but everybody, nobody had a hasaga not to go to college. And the mayor, therefore, there was no hope of producing any Talmidei Chachamim here, and so forth. I went to, after Torah of Das, the reason why I left Torah Das after I graduated elementary school. I left right after I graduated, a year after. But because for personal family reasons that Hayos, I was away. I was in Torah Das and I wasn't learning well because of all the distractions. My father, Shlomo, used to come every Sunday. He didn't work on Sunday. So he used to come every Sunday to the Rebbe to ask him how I'm learning. And he wasn't getting a good report. So my father said, I want him to learn. So I told my father, I said, you know, I'm learning better than everybody else is even in jail. I said, but the other parents don't come every Sunday. So they don't know what's going on here. You come every Sunday and you find out the Rebbe tells him, what does he tell you? What did I do wrong? I went outside for half an hour to the bathroom and then I came back. They said, I'll so he says, no, I want you to come. So he went to the principal and he told the principal, no, he come every Sunday, he doesn't learn. So the principal told him, you want him to learn? We don't have facilities for this. You want him to learn, go out of town, go to Tulsa Yeshiva and El Yisrael. Then he'll be able to learn. We don't have facilities. That's what I told him I was doing. He said it. And my father said, where is that? He didn't even hear about that. Tulsa Yeshiva was very small in Yisrael. So he says, well, Tulsa Yeshiva is about 500 miles away. About 500 miles away. Baltimore's a little closer. So he says, well, what's the difference between the two places? He says, tells him she was stricter. Nesha was not so strict. So my father says, well, I want to send him to the stricter place and the place which is further away from home. So he brought me, I was then 15 years old, and he brought me to Tel Aviv Yeshiva, and he left me there for 6 months. I didn't come home. And I learned what the Heretz is for a Rebbe in the Talmud Chacham. We learned Midas. After I was there 3 years, my brother, my older brother, said, we're only two in the family, so he said that since you were away 3 years, he comes home from college every Shabbos to be with my parents. So it's only fair that he should have a chance to go out of town for a few, for a while, and I should come home. So I should come closer to learn in the yeshiva, closer to home. So I said, well, I don't want to leave Tel Aviv Yeshiva because there's no place to learn in New York. Nobody is learning. And Tel Aviv Yeshiva told us that you can't learn in New York in order to get bracha. So, and he was very pressuring me. So I told him, I can't. I will not leave. He wanted to go to college out of town because he was going along the same line. And until I went to Tel Aviv Yeshiva, I was always going to go to college, as I said before. That's what it said in the yearbook. Tel Aviv Yeshiva is the only yeshiva that was against college in the whole United States. There was no other yeshiva that spoke to that. But I wasn't interested in college after being there 3 years. And my brother wanted to go away. And my father spoke to me on the phone. He says, it's only fair. He wants to go away. You should come home. So I said, but I can't learn in New York. Nobody learns in New York. So my father says, this is Ayetzer Hura. I'm a learning, can we learn Iberul? So what do I do? My father says to leave Tel Aviv Yeshiva. So I went to ask an Ayetzer by one of the elder brothers of Tel Aviv Yeshiva. And he says, no, I don't want to go to New York. I can understand. You can't be in Tel Aviv Yeshiva, go to Lakewood. So I said, but you don't take me to Lakewood. They don't take 18-year-old brothers from Lakewood. Bacham is 20, 21. Then he went to Lakewood. I mean, they wouldn't take me in. And besides that, I don't know enough. I don't know anything. What do I know? How much do I know really? So he told me that he heard that this summer, that year that I was talking to him, which was in 1951, he said, they heard that they're going to take in Bochum from Yeshiva University want to learn during the summer in Lakewood, just for the summer. So they asked him to take in Bochum from Yeshiva University for the summer. So he told me, this is a very choshev yid, and I'll say his name, and Mother Weinberg's a kind of bracha. He was a bracha, he was a friend of mine. And he said to me, just I'll take why you Bochum, and so they'll take you in also. So I said, that's such a compliment, you know. So he pushed me hard, and then I said, but I still don't want to go. And I'm saying this because it's very important for the whole issue. I said, why? He said, you know why? I said, because I have a plan here that I'm going to get smicha at 26 years old. And I'll be 26. I'm not 18. I'll be 26. I'll be after the highest year you can learn for smicha. And then I'll go out and be a Malkus Torah. Become principal of a day school someplace, like they were doing in Tel Aviv. So he says, no, you go to Lakewood 6 months and you wouldn't want to have smicha. So I said, that's why I don't want to go to Lakewood, because I know that's going to happen. So he screamed at me, he says, but you want to do what you want to do. So in 6 months you'll be wanting to do what you want to do. You want to not have smicha. And I didn't understand it, he shied at me. Anyway, I had no brayer. I came to Lakewood not because of a Baron, not because of wanting to learn, but because of a personal family desire that my brother wanted to go out of town. Sure. I go out of town, he wanted to go to Chicago, to university. I came to Lakewood, I came to the Rosh Yeshiva, he lived in 93rd Street then, and I came to see if I ever let me in, if I would tell me the Yeshiva.
Isn't that when you came to work with the yeshiva when you were in the ship?
No, that was 1943. Mm-hmm. That was when I was a little boy. So I can't tell Shiva. He lived in 93rd Street in Manhattan. And I can't tell him. There was another bachur from Telsa Yeshiva who also was wanting to come. And he talked to him first, and he talked to me. And he says to me, "No, so I'll get this. It's about there." So I said, "I know how to talk to him." He said, "Why didn't you learn?" I said, "I learned Bab Mitzia." He said, "What parak?" I said, "Parak HaShoyal." He said, "Did you learn the Sugya of Tonechi to Vahidla B'Sayim?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What's Machlokes Tachosh and Balabam and Gunun and Shayim? What's a Machlokes there?" I said, "I don't know." So he turns around to his form self and takes out a Gemara Bab Mitzia and opens up to the Rosh. And he says to me, "Read through the Zia." He said, "Don't tell me what the Machlokes is." I looked at him. I can't tell you. I don't know. He turned around again. He took out a Gemara Bab Mitzia, Bab Kama, and turned to Meuba, to the Sugya of Keren Kein Chagonov. And he says, "Learn through this piece of Gemara and this Tosfos, and come to Lakewood for Shabbos." It's this little thing was on Wednesday. "Come to Lakewood on Shabbos and they'll fahel you." Okay. I go home. And naturally I didn't have a shas in my house. Because my father came before the First World War and he came right after his bar mitzvah, and when he was in Europe, he knew 300 Bat Gemara Bal Peh in order to get into the yeshiva that he was learning in. And he learned chul year a day. Kimat when he was bar mitzvah, he knew ganz chul and then kimat all of your day. He said, but then he came to America and the First World War broke out and then and this and that. And he didn't have a shas in his house. He had to send money to his family. He came alone. So Mamela didn't have a shas. And what should I do? Who's going to teach me the Gemara? Although my father went to Ablachi. So I told my mother, "She wants me to learn a piece of Gemara, but I don't know how to understand the Gemara. So I'm going to go to Lakewood today, on Wednesday, and get a bacha to teach me the Gemara. And maybe by Shabbos I'll know the Gemara, who'll accept me." So she gave me a few dollars and I went on the bus in Jersey City. And I came to Lakewood, I sat down with the Gemara. And the first bacha that walked by, I asked, "What does this mean?" So it says Keren Kein Chagonov. So I thought Keren is a horn and Kein is like an eye. Chagonov, and I couldn't make understand. So the bacha told me. It's a shame to tell him, keep on going, teach me the whole piece. So I said, "Thank you very much." And I waited till the next bacha walked by and I said, "What is this next thing? What does this mean? What does that mean?" So we went to the whole Gemara, then I started on the Tosfos. I waited a whole Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday morning, nobody comes to town. Sunday afternoon, a person comes over to me, didn't have a beard or anything. And he mumbled under his breath, and he said, "The Tata Desotam Zodu Fahel." Obviously, I didn't know that there was a son there, I didn't know about Reb Schneier, but it was Reb Schneier. And not having too much derech eretz, I didn't see that he had a beard with a long coat, so I didn't even stand up for him. I sat by the Gemara, he was standing, and he says, "What did you learn?" I said, "This Gemara and this Tosfos." He said, "Why does Machlokes Levi and Rabbeinu Tam?" So I said, "What would he?" I looked in the Tosfos and I said, "Levi says, Azay and Azay and Azay. Va'imari," you know, he beat it off. And the Rabbeinu Tam was looked at Rabbeinu Tam, was held to Rabbeinu Tam. I thought, "Okay, one time." And I looked inside and I looked at Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, "Where did you learn?" I says, "In Tulsa Yeshiva." So he says to me, and by the way, I was a Mitzuyan there. You should know that. That's a fact. They used to skip me grade after grade. I went all the way up to the top very fast. So he says, where did you learn? He tells you, Shiva. Was macht ihr bei mir ein Bloch? How is he? He says, he's fine. How many Bochum do they have? I said, it's 120. That was more than Lakewood. Okay, 120. She says, okay, the Tate wird dir anrufen. I wait. And suddenly the Bochum comes. And I'm just sitting by the Gemara. I had nothing to do. I couldn't figure out any other Gemaras. I couldn't learn a piece of Gemara on my own. And the Bochum comes and says, oh, she wants to see you. I go into a Shiva. He says to me, "Bizeh haloshim, after fasting and zay, to his altar to the bochim. You can't kick na chavusa, but you said na chayunger, a elter. It's anders. You said noch jung. Go away to the belly chazan and toro vidas. You'll get a platch here. And after a year, then betman red. But you're in the king na chavusa." So I said to him. Rube is upset that he's not letting me come to the yeshiva. So I said, what's that? And he repeated it again. So I went and walked out. So upset, because now I have no place to learn. Because I will not learn in New York. I do not learn in New York. Because it was known that in New York you can't learn. And that's the way they told us in Talzi Yeshiva. So, in the Lakewood, I can't learn either. So where am I going to learn? I have no place to learn. So I was very upset. I went back to the Gemara, and I started to cry. I must have cried a couple of hours till I couldn't cry anymore. And then finally, I said to myself, I'm going to... Not nice to speak this way, but I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And I pick myself up from the Gemara, and I go back to the Yeshiva, and I knocked on his door. You know, and I come in, and I said, Yeshiva is verstehen it. He repeated, was it dort zu verstehen? It's all so to a bachen, but in the tongue of Laubus, he's like a younger. So I said, oh, she will understand it. So he thought probably that I didn't understand Yiddish well or whatever. So he repeated it two, three times again. Kept on saying, it gains Rabbi Yechazan, he keeps on going. So I kept on saying, oh, she will understand it. So she said, what's it got to understand? I said, understand it, or she will gemacht a yeshiva in Lakewood. I'm his only staff in Maryland in New York. And the yeshiva shipped me in New York, Maryland. And he smiled with a smile from year to year, and he says, "Toi, basoi, black dog." Not was, but he said, "Your father will have to get a cousin of your mom to learn with you." He says, "How much will it cost?" He says, $30 a month to learn me every day. $1 a day. So I says, $30 a month? My tata is an old man, I want to get $30. So the yeshiva said, yes, he had me as a chazal zogun, was a nice of shalom, to be my march of shona, chutz mi eitzo, as bono go tam a toilo, was far reide das? I says, oh, my tata is what an old man, I want to meet him. Oh, but he make me happen. Aber das tat auch das nicht. Und ich gab von mir, ich sagte, so sieh, schreien an mir. Das ist ja, was du tust. Das ist ein Trepp, was habe ich denn das? Und ich war wirklich sein. So ich gab wohl nicht sein. Und ich schlug die Gäste und er sagt, ich war freude mein Tate. I worked out. And I went to the phone booth and I called up my father. I said to my father, I said, you know, the Rashi is willing to accept me, but he wants that he have to take a cousin of mine to pay $30. And I told him, we don't have the money. I told him, we can't afford it. And he told me, what do you mean? So my father said, what's his? If the Hashiva says $30, it's $30. What's his? Okay. But I did not go back to the Hashiva to tell him that my father is masking. I did not. The next day, I went to Yeshiva and sat down with the Gemara. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe walks in and says to me, the Hashiva told me I should go with you. He told it. I didn't know who he was. He sat down and says, okay, where are you holding? He says, over here. He says, say the Gemara. Okay. I can't, I don't know the Gemara. I don't know. So he said one or two lines for me, and he says, now say it over. I said it over. Then he said, now chazaritz. And he sat next to me, and he was looking up at the ceiling the whole time while I'm chazaritz. Just sitting quiet. A few days later, I went home for Shabbos to be with my parents, my brother. He's ready, planning to go out of town. I come back on Sunday, I walk in, and he looks at me, he says, Shalom, how was Shabbos? And he smiled, the first time that week he smiled. And he says, how are you being with Shabbos? Come, let's go. You going to town? No, he said it. About a week or two went by, and all of a sudden, I'm here. He told me, or somebody told me, he's not learning with me anymore, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Herschel Binah. Zechen Etzad of Gor Yisrael. Ah! So he went to learn with Herschel Binah. Then he was killed in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, that was Herschel Binah. And then, I'm with Yitzhak, I thought he didn't have Chavusis. I'm with Yitzhak, he stayed here. But the Ikki is to understand from this one important thing. How much patience the Hashiva had to have to be able to hear. I don't have a Dvar Torah.
Okay, very good.
I don't have a Dvar Torah. I don't know the Machlekes Rishonim in Tanachit Dvar Torah B'Sayim. I can't read it from the Rosh, I can't understand it. And I can't make out the Gemara and the Tosfos, the Machlokes, the Rishonim, Rabbi Netanya, Rabbi Shneur, told them a good report about me. The novel began just because I said, you made a yeshiva in Lakewood, of course, people should have to learn in New York. That's why he accepted it. And he was able to be civil such a thing that he's going to be what? We have to know like this, that the Baruch Kaplan told me that the Hashiva told him that had it not been for Levitin Kaplan, he would have never came to America. Why? Was Be'emes, when he left Europe, he was planning to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he was on a ship to Eretz Yisrael. And the ship docked in San Francisco to refuel. And it spent a couple of days there. And the people who came to the ship, because they knew Chashev Yidden are on that ship, they asked him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So they said, why'd you come to America? So he says, what will I have in America? I'll be a Melamed Dardiki here. Nishvam, be a Tegis, and this is why I found the Bachem Tegis, so I should be a Melamed Dardiki. There's nobody who's only by learning him. So I'll be a Melamed Dardiki. I mean, you have to learn a Alabez, who is from Shashi with children. And he didn't want that. So they told him no. In San Francisco, the people told him, that there's a, in New York, there's a Rebbetzin Kaplan that made a seminary, that a bocha now has a hashgofer, that'll marry somebody A girl now has a hashkafa that she'll marry somebody who will want to stay after the chasna and learn a little bit. So he heard that and he asked about it. And he says, Abazay, I'm going to bribe you. When the board captain told me that, so I told the board captain, I have a kasha on this maisa, because the Vizkin love was sitting with the Baron, and the Baron said he's going to America. So what do you mean he's going to Israel? He wasn't going to Israel, he's going to America. And we knew, and the Hashiva said over, and this is very important, that the reason why he came to America, besides the fact that he threw a girl, Gwen's girl, to go to America, but he had a Messiah from the Boros Bear, who had a Messiah from the Chaim Balazina, that the kibbutz goyus will be in America. We're Torah v'tzichayz boyin. And the Boros Bear said, why will Torah v'tzichayz in America? Because the Yidden in America bought Torah with the hachzokas ha-Torah of European yeshivas. Kamenetz was supported there. I saw from Americana Gevirim, support list of people who gave to Europe European yeshivas. So he says, they brought Torah and made a Torah of its chazboy in Dortmund, and that's what we did give its focus. So the Yeshiva said, he's coming to America, that's going to be. Anyway, so I told the boss captain this. So he says, he doesn't know. The Yeshiva told him not like that, that he was going to tell to serve. So I says, I'll tell you, it's not a steer. Why is it not a steer? Bullshit. Because when he was by the Briscoe in Vilna, he was planning to go to America because he had a Messiah. But then his friends talked him out of it because what will he have from it? And then he changed his mind again in San Francisco. The Ikebot is that he came to America mamish to nothing. To nothing. And the yeshiva didn't grow. And Tzibislach, now I want to say over like this. This is what happened when I came, and the Roshiva took me in. I walked out of the Roshiva that day after he told me about the Zenyos of Shalodim Tzumun HaMosh Hashanah. And I walked out into the hallway, and all of a sudden, Bacha was walking there in the hall, and he sees me, he says, oh, Shalom Aleichem. This is a Bacha who was with me way back in Yeshivas Yankiv Yosef. And his name is well known. His name is Rabbi Yosef Tendler, the Menahel in Neir Yisrael, Yosef Tendler. And I said, Aleichem Shalom. He says, you know, you don't sound good. What's the matter? So I said, sure, I don't sound good. You know what just happened? He says, no. I says, I was just by the Rosh Hashiva. And he tells me my father has to take the Kol Yungaman to pay $30, and I don't, my father doesn't have. And he says, Mr. Show him to learn his son, and he's on his hand on me. How do you talk like this? So this fellow says to me, Shabbat. So I says, what kind of thing is that? On my father's cheshbon, he's gonna throw at me a chazal. He said, my father doesn't have the money. So he's a tall fellow, and he patted me on my shoulder. He says, you'll be here a couple of weeks. You'll find out that a chazal by that yid in the room over there is on your cheshbon, on your father's cheshbon, on Gan Kal Yisrael's cheshbon. Who was this Yosef Tendler? He was one of the boys who came from YU for the summertime. And he stayed in Lakewood. Yeah. That was Yosef Tendler. Moshe Tendler's brother. Just from touching Lakewood, that's what, you understand, they couldn't go back. They forgot about the colors, they forgot about everything they were interested in. That was the Rosh Hashanah. So when I was here, but that's what he told me. Nope. He told me like that, so sure, I didn't understand it, how you could throw a chazal somewhere such. Anyway, I said, besides that, I told this fellow Tendler, I said to him, you know, another thing, I'm here already since Wednesday, and they told me I should come in the dormitory hotel room, show me where I'm going to sleep. So there was a fellow who took care of the dormitory. His name is Moshe Hirsch. He was lying today. Not Moshe Hillel, Moshe Hirsch. Yeah. So Moshe Hirsch gave out the linen and showed you the room. So he says, you'll sleep over here. It's a little small narrow room. And I go inside and I see there's somebody sleeping in the bed there. There's one person, there's one bed, and this person sleeping there. So I go to him and I said, there's somebody sleeping in there. He says, so sleep on the couch. There was a couch. I go back to sleep on the couch, to go to the couch. There's a hole in the couch and the spring is sticking up out of the hole. How did I sleep there? So I go back to him. I says, there's a couch there with a hole in it. And the spring is sticking up. How did I sleep there? So he says to me, come, I'll show you. Come back. He takes a piece of my linen, he stops it into the hole, he pushes the spring down. He says, no, you can sleep, you put the blanket down, you sleep, you're right. So he says, but you can only sleep here, you can only sleep here till Thursday. You can only sleep here till Sunday, till Sunday. Till Sunday. I said, what's going to be on Sunday? She says, well, this is the Mashgiach's room. This is Rav Nosson's room. That's his bed, and this is his couch. So he's coming back on Sunday. Goes in for Shabbos. So I says, where am I going to sleep then? Come here, I'll show you. He's reading out of a very large room with two big beds. Sleep here. So I go over to the bed next to the window and I start to open up the window. He says, no, you won't sleep in that bed. That's the Levitin's bed. You sleep in this bed. This is the Yeshiva's bed. But you move away the bed a little bit from the spot where it's standing before that. And you'll sleep here. But you can only sleep here from Monday to Thursday. And then you'll go back into the Mashgiach's room. Because the Shiva goes away from Monday to Thursday, and then the Rav Nosson goes away from Thursday to Sunday, right? And you're back and forth like this. And that's the way I was sleeping, back and forth. The Shiva's bed, the Nosson's bed. And this and that. And that buffer was sleeping there, just happened to lay down there. And that's where it was done. So I told this Yosef Tendler, I said, you know, this is no way. There's so many big rooms here. We had a mansion. The first building was a mansion. There's so many big rooms. Why do they have only one, two beds in the room? You put double deckers. I just came from Tulsa Yeshiva. They had double deckers. Well, there's plenty of room. I have to go back and forth. So he says, you'll be here a couple of weeks. You'll find out that this is not an army barracks. This is B'nai Torah over here. Cover that Torah. Hear my son. That means that this fellow who just came from Yeshiva University had learned already what's called Kavanat Torah and what's called the Chazal. And Chazal is on your cheshbon and everybody's cheshbon. Okay, I sat down here in Lakewood. And the Yeshiva gets up and he says, a shmooze. And I have to listen to the shmooze.
How many of
you? He says, yeah, but I can't. This was an Elz man, crazy. Maybe after Sukkot, I don't remember yet. And so it says, the Torah, the Shinantum Levonecho, Chazal says, Shiyum Chudodim Beficho, Shiv Yishav Odom Dovo Echot, Altigam Gim Vitamil Lemiyat. I knew that pasuk, Shinam Tovu Banecha, and I even knew the pasuk, the Chazal of Shiv Chudodim Beficho. I learned Musa and Tulsa Yeshiva, we learned about that. So he says, Voshteido. So the Shiva said, Shiv Yisav Odom. It doesn't say what kind of person. Even an Odom Gadol. Yisav Odom. Anybody who will ask you, Dovo Echot, It doesn't say what thing. I'm asking one thing. I feel if I will finish Sugyan Soif Ukzi. Is out to Gangin the turn when we yard. That means there's a heave of Kol HaTeiru Kulu out to Gangin the turn when we yard. So I get a jump on my seat. I've been a yeshivas all my life. Nobody ever told me that I have to know Kol HaTeiru Kulu in such a way that even if the God of Adur will ask me of Havof and Sugi and say, Fuktsin, I'll have to enter right away. How come nobody ever told it to me? But I was so upset from listening to that. I figured if I'll be upset, I wouldn't hear the next thing that he's going to say. So I better try to listen into what he's saying. And he talks fast. He doesn't repeat. And he didn't say this with his pilots either. What do you think happened? He goes right to him, he says, after Vishinata Lomanecho stayed Vidibauta Bom, Zogin Chazal Vidibauta Bom, Voloi Bidvorim Vitevim. I knew that Chazal also. And I knew Voloi Bidvorim Vitevim. He says, Voshtejo, this is Allah Vabom Mikvala said, Vidibauta Bom, Voloi Bidvorim Vitevim. And I gave another job to Vidvorim Vitevim. He says, Allah Vabom Mikvala said. How come nobody ever told me that? I heard Mashgichim, many Shmuzim, all over in Tel Aviv. And all of a sudden he goes right there, and he's talking quietly. And then finally he says like this. He says, Mahasev Zoysik Bidubu Toivu, Paisik Bidubu Slicho, Izmachim Noysev Dachle Rosome. Jesus, what kind of Shvera Oynish is that? Why did he deserve such a shvera? He says, there's another Gemara. It says, Misha Efshir, your the last that was stated in the end of the Pasuk. He chorus the chorus. Yeah. So I again gave a jump in my seat. Till now I thought, Matzah Pesach is Chai B'Kishis. Arayas is Chai B'Kishis. Should be your last thing, the inner Oisik is Chayli Krisis. How come nobody told me that? But Mehmet Zirashiva wasn't Mechadish that. That's what it says in the Chazal. So all he was doing was saying over Chazal, and he wasn't saying his negative Chidushim. He was just learning up the Chazal the way it stayed. And then he explained why the Oinish, if you're Oisik with the Betoyva, and the Pesach with the Betoyva, why is it Machil Mazikav on Sonu? It's such a chomedic thing, it's a chavi krisis. So you get an oynish, machinu etz gachal sonim, it's an oynish, it's a harba aveiradis. I walked away from that and said, oh, I have now a different dimension of what Torah is all about. I have a different understanding of the chayma of bitl teir, the chayma of dvom teilim, the chayma of that I never heard in my life. And as I went on, I was just continuously watching the Rosh Hashiva. I used to sit and see halfway, which was about half of the Beis Medrash. I had a very good view of the Rosh Hashiva. I used to constantly get home and watch him and see how he davened. And it was my addiction. Naturally, that was a bacha, it was mutzinzich, the travusis. But we kept on going, It came a time where we start thinking about shiduchim. And somebody read me a shiduch. Shiva called me. He says, I heard that they read you a shidduch and you don't want to go. You're not interested to see about that shidduch. Why don't you want to go? I said, because she's very, very tall. So the Shiva told me, bei mir das gerade kein Gesorg nicht. Das ist der Rebbe zu. Das ist mein Story, denn ich. He said, without a smile. Daddy said, with a smile. He said, leg da rein paper in the sheikh. But he didn't say that with a smile. He said that seriously. Naturally, I didn't do it because I was not interested in doing that. Anyway, as time went on, somebody read me a shiur, and it was pretty close to being nigmar. And I went to the shiur, and I told him that I'm holding my shiur, and it looks like it might be nigmar. I have a question to ask you. What's your question? The question is that my father-in-law, the Beres, so the father of the Beres, her name is the same name, his name is the same name as my name. And he said, Tavos of Yudah Chosid. It says that you shouldn't do such a shidduch. So the Shiva said, Ekeita Chosralten. So I says, yeah. So the Dokken Childs, the Dokken Childs. By the way, Shiva, everything messed up with Taylor. When I told him, at the beginning when I told him, how by Goyma Zayn HaShidduch, he says, mit Vemin, mit Abes Yankiv. Yeah, mit a seminar. He says, yeah, Eire Boruch. Was wollten wir nicht teilen, wie Tönn, ohne Boruch. Er ist nicht so geworden, auch in der ersten Idee zu Tönn, aber dann kam er nach. Und der Schiebe, everything was, his mom is, in der Shemayim, and this was important, he didn't ask me the name, he didn't, well, nothing was in, he was interested to know if it's, you're going to be a seminary, that means that we're going to maybe play by learning, and that's why he came to America in the first place. to have such a thing. And then he says, I get that chesal. About 3 months after the chasana, she was Masada Kedushi naturally. 3 months after the chasana, the Shiva calls me over and wants to talk to me. Years before the chasana, my father was really nifter. I went into the Rashiva and I told the Rashiva, I says, would the Rashiva be able to talk to the Mechutin about Tzorchi HaChasana, about Tzorchi HaBayis, you know, furniture, the Yidduch, the Zulgumar? She says, yeah, Zalamei Rufi, let the Mechutin call me. So I told the Kala, that's where it wasn't. I told the Kala, tell your father the Hashiva wants to speak to you, should call him. The Hashiva never told me what he spoke, neither did her father tell me. That 3 months after the passing, the Hashiva calls me over. He says, Akmir, how much is your father-in-law giving you? So I said, he's giving me $18 a week. $75 a month or what? $75 a month. So he gives a job. Boy, as a tzaddik, as a tzaddik, as a half a satire, mit der Orgerät, as a wenige. He says, as a missus, nefesh vatire, er schickt sein Sohn in Philadelphia, und er bezahlt volles Chalimut. Hat er bekommen a Reis? War jetzt schwer. I says, was? A hechelung, a hechelung. I said, ich weiß nicht. Er hat mir gesagt, als er macht $70 am Woche als Menau von des Yankiv. Aber ich habe gesagt, das ist kein Geld nicht. Er soll gehen zu den Balabaten von des Yankiv und sie sagen, als ich geheißen, als ich dafür am Geld mehr Geld. Und der Baku, das ist ein Christus. Ah, das hat Zadig, das hat was hat er. And he was like springing, you know, shit, like he was Molly Simpson. There he is, Meister Nefesh Fatah. And he was a Yankee, much as a man of the world. Zadig, a Yankee. He was a Bez Yankov in the Bronx, East Bronx, where Moshe Bit Bez Yankov was. Moshe Bit was in the Bronx, he was the Rosh Farach. And you know, Abelman was here in town. Avraham, his father, Lippa, is in the Bronx. He was also on the Barachim. Abelman was with Moshe Bit. Okay. But this is the interest that the Shiva had. To make sure that what he spoke with him, he's giving me. like you had the bracha and you had to give me money, give me an egg and a kin by him. It was like, not just I did my job and he asked me to talk to him and I spoke and I don't care what's going to happen. And I noticed this. It's nice. I'm just saying, but this is the way it went on. After a while, right before my father was nifta, I was 20 years old, before my chasna. I was married when I was about 24 and a half, 25. So Shiva calls me in. He says, they're making a new yeshiva in Philadelphia. And the Deutsch Schwarzman, wants me to be one of the six bochra that are going to start the yeshiva. So I went to call up my father. He asked me, sure. Should I go? I have to let him know. I called up my father. And I said, well, she just called me in and he told me this. So my father says, so what are you calling about? So I said, my father, ah, Shiva. So he said, what's the history? Shiva said, you should go. He holds it's good for you to go. So what kind of shame? What are you calling me for? My father was nifted 2 weeks later. And I considered that as a tzavua for my father. You're in the hands of Lord Shiva, whatever he says is good, and do it and follow it. And I took it like that. And everything from there on in, as he became my father. It was mamush like that. It was mamush like that. And besides that, he was Sandik of my son, and besides that, my oldest daughter, who brought over by Hakofis to get a broch. And my oldest daughter is still in my kud, and her husband is still in Kailo. After 20 years after the chasen, Tomar. As she's Thomas' younger brother. And this was the Ibn Yemkai, that she was so busy with everything. One is her way is the game to Santasach. And right before the chasna, the Shiva had a car accident. Fell out of a car, was coming from New York to Lakewood. It was icy in the car, and fell out of a car. That was 1958. So, he fell out of the car and came back to the yeshiva. They took x-rays and they brought him to hospital in New York and they found out he broke his shoulder. He was in the hospital quite a while. And the Bochum were taking turns going to the hospital. Because they didn't let nurses into the room, the Bochum arranged that only the Bochum should be in the room. And if a nurse wants to come in to give a thermometer or something, she would open up the door and hand the thermometer to the Bochum, and the Bochum would give it over. There were no nurses. The Rebbetzin was in the room, but Rebbetzin weren't able to see her. There was drapes on the windows, and she was standing behind the drapes. And the Bachman came in and gave the yeshiva whatever he needed and he took it. And one day I noticed that the drapes were moving, so I thought the window was open. And there's a draft coming in and maybe too cold. So I asked the yeshiva, is it, I closed the window. She said, no. So I went and moved over the drapes and I see the Levinson is there shortly. She said, tell him the window wasn't open. She was just getting his head. But one day, it was my time to come into New York and to be with the yeshiva. And I went in with another bachur, there were always two bachur. So he says, sitting there, I was learning something. And he was in the matzav at that time that they made an examination of the yeshiva, and they claimed that from tests, he has stones, his bladder or his kidney, whatever, and they have to make serious procedures, which were very painful to him. And he held that he's not allowed to learn because he had pipes going from him, which made it, he held the halacha that the miraglayim are flowing through the pipes, and then he can't, because he had no control, vice versa. So, one day, that day, he says, when you go home, if you're going home, on the way to Lakewood, do you have a Yiddish paper at home? I says, yeah. I used to live with us. I said, yeah. He says, if you're coming back tomorrow, so bring a Yiddish paper. Maybe I came at night. He looked at the newspaper and looked at the headline. Then looked at another heading. He looked about two or three of that for maybe a minute. Ken is cooking. Just threw it away. Because he couldn't learn, he had to have something to occupy himself with. Then he calls me over to his bed and he says, Zes was Welt, mit me David nicht mit Kavone, was mit den ganzen nicht David. He had this hour of learning, hour of David. Oh, you did it, sir, 2 or 3 days. It was very big, sir. Then he tells me, Ruf der Rhein Lebisch, he was the other Bacher. I woke him, I walked out a few minutes later, he wants to talk to himself. And a few minutes later, Leibish comes running out and he says, did you hear what the Rashima just told me? I says, what? Rashima called me over, he says, did this was the hell to even die with this because one man, what was the dance in this dove? I said, I felt like Rashima was telling me, die with this because one man. We should say that the yeshiva is living a life that Al-Sfirtzich Ben Ishmael. That this didn't just happen, that this didn't just become, he just didn't land on it, fall out of a car. The Maisa turned out that he didn't have any stones and it was all a mistake and this and that. But anyway, the yeshiva had to recuperate after the hospital, being in the hospital, he had to recuperate. So instead of coming to Lakewood, he stayed by a family in Manhattan. And we used to come here to the apartment where he was staying. And after he recuperated there for a number of weeks, we came to try to my house. So he tells me, he says, I'm not going to be able to be the whole chasna. Normally, he sat from the chuppah the whole sheet. And he says, I'm not going to be able to, but there's only going to be about a chuppah. That's it. So I understood. And this is the first chasna he's attending after his accident. Well, it's inside the tradition. And under the chuppah, absolutely everybody gave mazel tov. And I went down, went to the yichud room. And in the yichud room, they take benches. After all that was all over, I come down to come into the hall. Who's standing by the elevator? The yeshiva standing by the elevator, waiting till I come down. He wanted to give me again mazel tov and ben shmoy and give me a bracha, bracha shtarke. Yeah. Now, how long he waited? Standing by the elevator till I come down. Somebody, a bacher in the yeshiva, noticed that he's benching. And this bacher really called the photographer to take a picture of how he's holding him. The photographer was on the other side of the hall. Till he came back, it took a little time until he brought him over. He's still holding my hand eventually. Lev Nosson was in that picture.
Where's the picture?
I have that picture. That picture was taken by Harry Trainer.
For her.
I met a few years ago Harry Trainer and told him that I have such a picture. Oh, this is when I said in 1958. It's quite a few years ago, that's more than 40 years. I told him, we made the mikveh. On the Erev Shabbos, Harry Trainer came for the summertime, he came for Yahikawa. So I tell him this to him, I says, it's a fraud, it's still a Shiva, it's like that. I said, somebody looks at that picture, she's a Shiva, give me Mazel Tov. But if you understand what's behind this picture, he has no kaychus to say to this. And here he already gave me Mazel Tov under the chuppah. And here he stayed such a long time to wait till I come down. He says, he had the kid, this great kid that was Vishnan Tov of Orech Eilat Talmidim. And he's standing there. And in the mikveh, Harry Trainer says, you have to give me a picture. He says, I'm going to blow it up and you'll hang it up in your dining room. I says, okay, you got it. But this picture is just to devise what's on Shiva. I have the picture. What do you need the negative for? You make the picture, you can do whatever you want. Anyway, the end of the story was that every little thing as the Ramban didn't watch without his conditions. If it was a job for my wife, should she take the job? Should she change her job? And he said, what she should do. What she should do. There was a question, the marshal, she had a job in the cheder. And the cheder wasn't this cheder that was there. There was a thing called the cheder, it was before this cheder. And then it stopped for a while, and then it started this big cheder. But there was a thing called the cheder. And she was teaching there. And she could get $2 more a week in the day school. And I asked her, I'm interested. I said, should she switch the job or not? She was like, nay, she shouldn't switch. I said, it's only like a few dollars more. Maybe. $40, we gave $20 to the babysitter a week. She came home with $20. We had to pay $40. $40 was the salary. Anyway, it's hard for my shver to give him money. It's like a few years after the chasen, and it's difficult for him. So I'll make it easier, she'll have a few more dollars. So he says, the Shvir told you that it's difficult for them. So I said, no. So he says, if he didn't tell you, so I says, he says, I realize my wife told me it's difficult. So he says, if he didn't tell you, that's not your ASIC, whether it's difficult or not. So exactly, says, who's father? It's all again. And it's like your business is trying to make it easy for him. Yeah. I mean, everything was the point. The Zuchus, the Toyer, the Hapsoka Center, everything. Every little part. And maybe she can change. She can change the job. Once missed, move. And he was always ready to answer. He never told me to come back. When he told me to go to Philadelphia, I'm still bacher. It's a little bit out of order. Excuse me. After the chasen, I started work. I was in Koyman close to 5 years. calls me in. He says to me, I want you to go say a shiur in Boston. Label Hyman was then the head of the yeshiva. Label Hyman came and said, the yeshiva is growing and he needs an older person. He had children with him saying shiur. He needs an older person to say shiur. So I want you to go. So I said, yeshiva, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Why? He says, why? I learned Zvachim this man, I'm starting to be Lachis. It's the best man I had. Since I'm here, I have got two children, a boy with a girl. I says, I'm a Chassadah Yish. Of course, he's the best man. I don't want to go. So he says to me, come in. This was, he was bothering me as a shtark. So he says, no, no. He says, that's what he wants very much. So I says, you know what? I'll go to the other. And if it will be all right for me, I'll stay. And if not, I want to come back into the Koilu. But then it was a thing that if you leave the Koilu, you're usually supposed to come back. Once you're out, you're out. So I said, I want to go with that tonight. And I should be able to go back. And if I don't feel that I'm, it's good for me to be there. So he tells me, man, get on to know you. Because I know if you go with such a tenai, you'll be back here. That's also the truth. He says, I know you'll be back. He says, go without a tenai. Look, he says, go without a tenai. So I went without a tenai. But I came back and I saw some children. I said, no way, I don't understand. It's not for me, this guy. He told me 20 reasons why not. So he tells me, the Olim is coming in now to show me his idea. Come to Talmud Sukkot, and we'll talk about it. I come in Talmud Sukkot, and I left my wife. I want to take my children to have my trip. So I'll be right back. I just want to finish off with the Hashiva. I go to Hashiva and I say to him, Hashiva, it's not for me. I'm old and I'm learning. And I gave him all my 20 reasons. And he's sitting and listening patiently, all the reasons. I had it prepared. In the middle, I gave myself a chav. Hashiva wants me to go, so I have to excuse myself. Why I'm being so adamant and saying no, even though he wants it. So I said, well, Shiva, tell me why I'm being so like this. I don't mean to think so, but I just want to give out the matzv to the Shiva clearly. So I says, Avada, if the Shiva will tell me to go, as the Shiva is on the phone. So for the yang, butler daiti, of how much to buy, and this and that. And I finished that sentence. He said, four. There you go. I thought the world was coming to an end. What do you think? I went home. My wife says, okay, let's go. How much? I said, no, we're going in there. Okay, divorce. Because she told me to go. She's up to you. Up. There's no money. I picked myself up and I went there. I didn't meet my family yet, but I went by myself. We didn't have a problem. And I benched every single day. 5 weeks later, the Hashiva was nifter. The same day I left the Boston was Yitzchak Shukis. The Hashiva went to New York. He never came back to the Yeshiva, and I never came back to the Yeshiva. The full time. Oh, that was my mistake. To the employer. It was the last time I spoke to the Hashiva. He told me, well, and after that, I benched every single day that he told me to go. I stayed so much, being worse than 5 years. I had a higher share. He was becoming a Yeshiva Kula. I was leading and learning. He was waiting. This guy, everybody, what you're fit for, you have to do what you have to do. The whole. I tell you about him. He came to give a vial to a shiva. Again, you have to understand. We traveled all night from Boston to Shabbos. We came Sunday morning to be by the vial. I tell you, I cried more for the shiva than for my own family. Everybody was going around here like they were lost, and they threw themselves on the floor. What's going to be? It was like, those guys who went around in the trance for 3 months. I'm not being the guys. That's what it was. That was Bukhaya. The stages, as I went out to Bukh and as I came, Chasna. But there are hundreds of other vices that I can tell you that I had in the shiva. You missed it. Wait for a second.